All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our NFL podcast for Tuesday, December 12th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
And we're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short here to get you started to keep winning on FanDuel or DraftKings. So you go check out the site, as always, for the free 3-day trial, DFSR.com/NBA. If you like, if you've been listening to this podcast all season, you know the drill. And if you haven't signed up by now, you probably won't. But anyway, we'll throw it out there just in case we get, just for those new time listeners, DFSR.com/NBA will get you a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab. And that's optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings NFL while the rest of the season still goes here. NBA, a lot of season left there. MLB, when that sport hopefully never comes back, but probably will soon. It's all good. You're all good to go on their one subscription package, free for 3 days, and then $34.95 a month after that. Buddy, finally a pretty interesting, not finally, but a very interesting week in football. I felt like some weeks we come into this recap and we're like, oh man, what happened? Like, it was just kind of a week of football. Nothing really happened. This week actually feels like it had some very good games. First of all, it had the snow game, which between two bad teams, which will be, I don't know, that'll be something that will like live in some highlight reels in terms of like, oh, this, look what real men play through, you know, like this, yeah. Is what
68 carries between the two starting running backs. That's a good one.
or like shout out to the Buffalo fans, like that even went to the game, because I don't even know. I think I saw a Twitter feed at one point, or someone on Twitter, some beat writer, they're like, if you're sitting in this side of the stadium, you can't see the opposite scoreboard. So like, you don't know what the hell's going on in the game. The one team's wearing white. You're sure you can't tell who was the ball. It was completely nuts. So we have that. We can talk about that a little bit. And then a lot of injuries that we're going to lead off with that here, because football's a sport where everyone gets injured. There's no other way around it.
You're a Roman in the early turn of the common era, and you're watching the gladiators, and sometimes they get hurt and you don't get to see your favorite gladiator anymore. And you just hope that they stay out there. It's real sad.
Or sometimes your favorite gladiator has a clear concussion and is like seizing on the ground, and then you send that gladiator back into play because we'll talk about that in a second too. So anyway, the big news coming out of this week, obviously, is Carson Wentz tears his ACL in the game against the Rams. Tore the ACL, and then it seemed like he stayed back in for a play or two, actually threw a touchdown, and then realized that it was something was not right in his knee. You know, the thing that like would make the common person like you or I crumple into a ball and just like not be able to move is the thing that he was like three plays later. It's like, man, I feel something feels weird. I'll throw this touchdown pass and then I'll go have it checked out.
Yeah, I tore my meniscus in college and I vomited, literally vomited.
So, there you go. Anyway, you get where you have brutal for Philly fans. And I was saying to you before the podcast here, this is and someone was asking me this in the chat room the other day. So, you know, who are your teams? I said I used to be a big Giants fan in a previous life and a big Red Sox fan, but you know, 5 years of just staring at this stuff will take away that part of your fandom pretty quickly. Right. And anyone that hardcore follows DFS, I think, and I still has like true team allegiances, more power to you. I've not been able to do it. That being said, I used to just revile Eagle fans for all their although I had so many bad words to say about Eagle fans.
That's still fair. Philly fans, I don't root for teams, but there's still a couple teams that I'm like, you know, not psyched when they win. The Yankees are one, and then basically every Philly thing, just because of how, you know, you grew up right near Philly. I grew up about half an hour from Philly, knew a lot of Philly fans. I think that's still fair, so I don't want to get too crazy here, but yeah, even I feel very bad for Carson Wentz, who, you know, couldn't control where he got drafted and is an awesome player, was having a phenomenal season, leading his team to a terrific historic year for their franchise, potentially going to the Super Bowl, all that stuff, to go down now. I definitely feel bad for him.
What do we do with their – I mean, do we have to just give them downgrades across the board here, every wide receiver?
Yeah. Destroy them all. We need a week to figure it out.
Do we upgrade the running game at all here, or is it just like they were already just kind of too by committee anyway? Nick Foles is going to take over. Has had at least NFL reps in the past. Not that he's going to be the answer here. He's not Carson Wentz. Wentz was, you know, the highest scoring. We've now lost the two highest scoring fantasy quarterbacks this season between Watson and Wentz. And yeah, just completely brutal. Other. So we'll take a wait and see approach on them going into this week. Other injuries, like I said, I alluded to Tom Savage's concussion. Savage goes down on he gets knocked into the end zone and goes down and basically just has like a seizure. I wouldn't even know another way to describe it. Like, even my wife, who doesn't know word one about football, we were sitting in around the TV watching the game on Sunday, and even she saw it happen. She goes, oh my God, what happened to that guy? And I was like, I think his brain got damaged. Like, I don't know another way to put it. Anyone that saw that replay and then thought that it would be a good idea for like him to go back into the game is just should be like, I don't know, put in jail probably. But I would very much suspect he doesn't play. Now, he already stunk. So the seizure aside, I really hope he's okay, but he already stunk. And we get TJ Yates coming in and kind of look competent. Now, DeAndre Hopkins is a guy we've always gone back and forth with because we're just not sure what kind of quarterback play he's going to get. Now, for him going from Savage to Yates, does that matter at all? I'm kind of thinking it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. He's quarterback proof. And I think also the further evidence here is that it's just a systemic, you know, organizational philosophy. It just doesn't matter who goes in there. The coach says, throw to DeAndre at least 14 times a game and just let the rest get figured out on his own, because he gets 16 targets again, play of the week. He was chalk. We were off it. Well, I wouldn't say we were off it. We were deciding between him and Keenan Allen basically right up until the lock. We went with Keenan Allen for the safety and obviously got a little bit there. So yeah, I think Hopkins is a good play independent of his quarterback. It'll be an interesting question going up against Jacksonville this week. He's cheaper than he has been, but Jacksonville's about the worst possible matchup for a wide receiver to begin with, to say nothing of the quarterback issues. So I could see us not playing him this week, but I'm certainly going to be keeping an eye on how the targets all shake out there this week.
Yeah, I think that I know he got a majority of those passes came from Savage. The two touchdowns came from Savage, I believe. I'm looking at this in a game log, though, and it looks different. So now I should need to confirm this, because I could have sworn the two touchdowns were from Savage, but I'm going to go confirm this after we're done. But I think either way, you're just not worried about it. It's just pure volume at this point. It's over and over and over again, giving him something like, and it's crazy too, because we had downgraded his targets a little bit, mostly because it's just slightly easier to do that than to reduce the quality of targets just for the way our system's made. It all ends up being kind of the same in the end, but I think I'm just done with doing that. I mean, 12, 13 targets a game seems kind of reasonable. I don't know. They don't seem to have any other plan for him. So going forward, it'll be interesting to see what his ownership was after, you know, a week where he was just kind of, I don't know, clearly great. Other injury news and notes: Josh McCown looks like he's going to be lost for the season. Bryce Petty will take over as quarterback for the Jets. Robbie Anderson, Jermaine Kearse, these are Austin Seferian Jenkins. These are guys we've at times targeted just if they're coming in the right matchup and the right price point. Do you see those guys? Do you see having to make any true shift? McCown hadn't been bad this season. Do we have to make any real shift in guys like that, projections? Understanding, look, these aren't DeAndre Hopkins, but these guys right. do sometimes matter in DFS.
Yeah, I think you adjust them all downward. You know, there's still enough games going on, especially now that we're through buys. It's kind of tricky. So we lose these 8 p.m. games on FanDuel, but we also lose buys. And I think there's still plenty of value to go around without having to speculate on totally new situations. Now, one exception to that might actually be some of these backup quarterbacks. Like, I bet we'll have a discussion at some point this week about whether we just want to play Nick Foles at 6,000 against the Giants this week. But outside of that, I don't like the skill position players on teams with brand new quarterbacks. It's just not for me.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I don't even have a projection for Foles yet, because that was something I was going to do, start working on.
Yeah, right after the podcast.
Yeah, basically is when I start kind of going through. I've already done like a quick look at snaps and just different opportunity that came out and injury stuff. But in terms of just giving actual solid projections, that does take a little bit of work. That's what we call Tuesday work, pulling up the chair on Tuesday and saying, oh, what do we make of Bryce Petty? Anyway, this week also, you know, it's a good point you made about these. Some of these backup quarterbacks, because if you look ahead to this week, we have, and we'll talk about some of the other performances in a second, but this is where the NFL schedule really gets a little wonky, because they start playing games on Saturday. So you already have the Thursday game, then you have the two Saturday games. So that makes a short 3-game slate between Thursday, Saturday, and then FanDuel and DraftKings still have eliminated the night game. And obviously the Monday night game, that makes for a very small, this is almost like a bye week main slate of games.
Sure.
And so, cause you're basically losing minimum 6 teams, based on how, you know, at least FanDuel have been doing things up until this point. So you're losing 6 teams off the bye. And some of those teams are teams that we consider, like Dallas and Oakland. Oh God, if Oakland, how Oakland's won 6 games, I have no idea. So Dallas and Oakland play Sunday night. The Chargers and Chiefs play Saturday. Those are two teams that we've targeted a lot of guys from in the past. Chicago and Detroit, not so much. Oh God, Denver and Indy. So there are some teams, and then Atlanta and Tampa Bay play on Monday night. So there are some teams with really a lot of fantasy relevant guys that we're not even going to be able to consider on the main slate. And I think that's where it's going to be. Like you said, we're going to really want to take a strong look at some of these backups. All right, let's go through some of the performances last week. I have a lot that I want to touch on, mostly in the like hashtag of course category, and of course meaning.
Oh, buddy. This could plague you until the day we sell this business one day. Yeah, it's
okay. Well, let's.
There's a few hashtags. We can start with your hashtag of course. I have two guesses. I mean, I think I know the number 1 and 2 guys on your list. Can I give them out?
Yeah,
Jordan Howard and Kareem Hunt.
Oh, yeah. That's it. I mean, I have other ones, so don't get me wrong, because this week seemed to be particularly littered with them.
These just are the two exact guys that we played in lineup. I think it was 2 weeks ago that scored a combined 7.4 fantasy points. And so this week, did they score more than that combined? I wasn't really paying attention.
Okay, well, let's make a real adjustment. Let's have a real discussion here about Kareem Hunt. Okay, so Kareem Hunt, who I did play in some GBPs and just wasn't able to get there because I was like, this guy, I just have to do it. Just my own sanity.
Your suspicion paid off, dude. I'm so happy for you. This is I'm sad for you. I can't decide. But one way, I have some feelings for you.
For my own sanity's sake, I had to just do it because I was like, I just can't. But anyway, and he didn't have like an earth-shattering performance. But 4.6 yards per carry, over 100 yards on the ground, scored a touchdown, got some work in the passing game. Oakland, we had said before the week started that Oakland was another dream matchup for KC, and it was more of a Kareem Hunt question more other than an Oakland question, because Oakland's defense is horrible. Now, this game obviously was a return to sort of what he had been doing in the early season, and yet it was against the very worst defense in football. How overboard or underboard do we want to go on adjusting Kareem Hunt's projection going forward in a game where they clearly leaned on him, and this is kind of the thing we've been waiting for like four straight weeks?
Yeah, I think that's the big takeaway for me is that we were waiting for it for four straight weeks, and I have no reason to believe we won't have to wait another 4 weeks. We have been waiting for it since week three. He had been on the steady decline all the way down to the bottom. Looks like the value of the U.S. dollar over 100 years or something like that was his was his performance. And then he just comes back out of nowhere and has a terrific game. I think he'll go back in that direction. I'm not looking to pay anything like a premium for him right now. He's not on the main slate, so you know, for people who play smaller slates, whatever, you can play kind of anyone in a two-game slate or, you know, that actually gets playing time. So feel free to deploy him there, or you're doing like a Thursday to Monday thing. He's definitely playable there. But I am going to be cautious with Kareem Hunt because I've seen a lot more evidence that he's a bad running back than I have that he's a good running back.
Yeah, fair enough. And like I said, he had the dream matchup. He has a much more difficult matchup this week against the Chargers on Saturday. So I definitely don't want to go overboard. Yeah, and then Jordan Howard has a great game, goes for 147 and two touches. He's a guy that we've talked about in the past as saying when the game script goes his way, he's as good as any running back in football from a fantasy perspective, right? Like, and because Chicago has said that Chicago's been very clear that they want to run the ball as much as possible, and they often just can't because the team is bad and they just fall behind and they're just not able to kind of get that game script. I'm not willing to go overboard on him either. They're most of the time going to be playing from behind. And if you want to try to catch lightning in a bottle on Howard, like as we try to do, like when they played San Francisco the week before, you can go for it. And then it's just really, you really can't trust it. Other just crazy, crazy performances. I know you have some, but two that I'm going to wipe away as being just, I didn't even make any adjustments to these two teams. Yeah, I made no adjustments to Buffalo and Indianapolis, right? I basically, from a trying to figure out what's going on perspective, I just said whatever my assumptions were going into last week, for right now, let's just keep those assumptions the same, because I don't suspect that Frank Gore is going to get another 36 carries. I don't think LeSean McCoy is going to get another 32 carries.
Unless they play another Buffalo snow game. But yeah, I totally agree. You can ignore those guys for now. We talked about McCoy going into this game actually last week as a potential big upside guy. He fulfilled some of that upside. Still doesn't totally like get you home for GBPs or anything. But I think if there is another terrible weather game, we now know the Bills plan.
Other running back performances. I mean, we've talked about how there's been a sort of a downsizing in at least 100 yards. If you're going to use 100 yard game as your watermark for a good or bad rushing game, I mean, it's arbitrary, but that seems to be historically what people want to use. This week we had a lot of them. We had something like 900 yard games. Of those 900 yard games, and those were McCoy and Gore, who we just said we can pretty much like ignore those. We had Howard, and then other 100 yard guys were like Kroll, Collins, Hunt, Drake, Jay Stu, and Fournette. Of that group, who had big carries and obviously saw a lot of yards, which one of those would you qualify as like being like real? Like you want to like make something of them, right? Like you want to use it kind of to inform some of our assumptions and projections going forward.
Okay, so I think we can start with, well, so one guy I do kind of believe in actually is Alex Collins. We've seen now really significant carry share for him for 4 weeks in a row. Minimum touches over that stretch is 17. He's just 6,600 on FanDuel. I think he's a guy you can look at. Also helps that he's the definitive goal line back, a touchdown in four straight weeks. I think he is just kind of a guy now, and I'll eat some crow there because I've been very down on the Ravens running game for the whole season basically, but recently as well. And so I think that one is legit. I don't think you can count on Cleveland to be able to support 19 plus carries per game just because they're so bad. And when you're behind, it's really tough to get your running backs involved. I think some of the reason Kroll got additional carries this week was because of the windy weather. And I don't suspect that will continue going forward. The Carolina running game and Stewart, I'm not especially interested in. A lot of that performance was fueled by the touchdowns. Leonard Fournette, I think it's the real deal. You know, he's another guy we liked. Todd Gurley, 96 yards, another guy we obviously like too. But I guess the only one I'm not really definitive on right now is Kenyon Drake. What do you think about him? I mean, he didn't get in the end zone and it wasn't a great fantasy performance, but 25 carries and 5 receptions for 79 yards. That's a lot of usage for a guy who is still 6,500 on FanDuel going into Buffalo this week, by the way.
In a crazy beating the Patriots last night. Like I didn't even mention that in terms of like just crazy sort of game stuff that happened this week that made it interesting for them to just go out and kind of like pretty easily beat the Patriots. Now they got lucky. They had an interception return for a touchdown and they had some other things go their way, but still that's kind of a statement. I very much believe that this is the plan for them. For that to
2 weeks in a row now for Drake, right?
Yeah. 48 carries over the last 2 weeks, 8 receptions. And so I'm going to put him in there's no one behind him in the depth chart at all, which is always helpful. Now, look, he's still on Miami. That's a problem. Miami is still not a good team. I know they just came off that big win yesterday, but I still.
This week. So this is an interesting question, right? Buffalo faces off against Miami at Buffalo. It stands to reason that at the very least, it won't be a beautiful sunny day. We have now Drake and McCoy coming off the weeks where both of them are among the top rushing leaders in terms of attempts and yardage. Are they interesting guys here?
I think so. Yeah, Buffalo looks like they're going to start Tyrod Taylor again because Peterman got hurt. And that has been a help for McCoy in the past. Yeah, this is one that I'll kind of go over today. I tend to believe the opportunity here for Drake, just because we've seen it. They don't have no other options. And I think this is a team that wants to run the ball just because they don't want to have Jay Cutler throwing a ton of passes per game. And this is just not the great matchup. Just going back to Alex Collins real quick. I'm with you that I believe in his opportunity. It's been great to see that his opportunity has stayed the same, even with Woodhead coming back. Like I thought that would be a real problem for him, but it really hasn't been. And then Buck Allen is not a guy that they've been greatly incentivized to run either. At the Cleveland defense they played this week, we've been talking about how we thought the Cleveland run game defense has been overrated. And then last week they held Jamal Williams to only 3 yards a carry. Now he had never been a big yards per carry guy. We've been sort of like weirdly, or more specifically me, I've been very apologetic about, you know, where the Cleveland stands in terms of the run defense. And I'm able to find a new excuse every week about why I still think they're not good. And then every week they kind of just go out and be good. When you see that Williams is not a good big yards per carry guy anyway, do we still have the same, should I still have the same feeling about the Cleveland run defense, or are they just good and this is not a spot we want to like attack a guy like Collins?
I think they're fine, is my guess. And I think that perhaps makes Collins not a great play, just because, you know, there's other things to be concerned about there in terms of overall opportunity and, you know, sharing carries and that kind of thing. But I still don't think Cleveland is elite. I would guess that they're something like league average, something like league average. It's a sample size problem, right? Like you really, one thing that is nice is, and maybe this is actually a note in their favor, is that it's one like, and I'm going to backpedal a little bit on some of our analysis going into last week, because it is true that you shouldn't get too many brownie points for shutting down a bad running game, right? Like you go up against, I don't know, Pittsburgh when Le'Veon Bell's back, you don't get a ton of credit for that. But the thing is, sometimes bad running games do just light teams up, right? And if now we're into 14 weeks into the season and they've successfully dodged that every week, like Jamal Williams has torched some people, right? Like it's not like he's been terrible every single week. I think you probably do need to give Cleveland some credit. I think a lot of it's unknown because they just haven't played a real schedule. Although I wouldn't say that Baltimore necessarily brings this incredible running game to the table. So I just don't think you need to prioritize Collins there.
Let's go over and talk about some of these wide receiver performances this week. Ben Roethlisberger throws an insane 66 passes on Sunday night and has 4 receivers or tight ends with double digit or more targets, led by Antonio Brown, who gets 18 targets, 213 yards, somehow doesn't score on those 11 catches, but still has a great game. Now, clearly 66, you don't start, you can't ratchet up the targets here. You need to look at more kind of like at percentages and just basically what he's done for the whole season. But now sure. we're going to get Pittsburgh on the main slate, which they have not been on for a while this year, just because of the way the scheduling's worked between Thursday games and then Sunday night and Monday night games. Antonio Brown's going to face New England. Are we looking at, do we want to set him at like 12 or 13 targets safely? I mean, is that just kind of the universe we're living in with Antonio Brown? Are we worried that like the Patriots kind of know how this operates and they're going to be incentivized to stop someone like him? He's far and away the highest projected just overall points wide receiver in our system going in. And he's also very expensive. What are your thoughts here on Brown going forward? Like, is he the kind of guy that can sustain this kind of price?
Yeah, he's a mandatory play as far as I'm concerned. 9,300 is a lot, but look at his last 4 weeks, like 37, 36, 20, and 27 fantasy points in the last 4 weeks. Not very touchdown dependent, by the way. Like, he's just a total monster right now. And it seems like the full-on plan, New England struggled against the pass this season. Brown has been pretty good against them historically, which kind of matters, you know, given how long they've been playing up against each other, and so much of shedding Antonio Brown, from my perspective, is just an organizational decision to decide that he's not going to beat you. I don't think the Patriots really have the personnel to pull that off. So I think Brown, it's an interesting example of where, for whatever reason, FanDuel's algorithms for wide receivers just seem to top out at 9,300. They're like, yeah, let's just not make anyone more expensive than this, because he's operating just above that price point. I think something like 10,000 people would still be thinking about it. And at 9,300, it's a bargain. So yeah, I'll happily play Antonio Brown in every single format. I was looking at this earlier, just in terms of target leaders overall this season, now that everyone's played the same number of games. And so Brown has 5 targets ahead of Hopkins. He's like 300 receiving yards ahead of Hopkins, by the way. But 5 targets ahead of him, he's 30 targets ahead of the next guy after that. So yeah. And considering that he converts a much higher percentage of his targets into receptions than DeAndre Hopkins, the guy's just totally ridiculous. He's 1.5 wide receivers in any given week. So that tends to be worth 9,300.
Yeah, and I didn't even mention Le'Veon Bell, his performance. He didn't have a ton of rushing yards, but he saw a ton of targets as well. So he's just one. He's another one of those guys that it's kind of just matchup independent, in the sense that if they're winning, he's the plan. And if they're losing, he's part of the plan too. And so you're just getting, again, you're just getting just crazy amounts of usage. Again, he didn't turn it into a phenomenal game. It was still good. But it was really just good because he couldn't get the carries. Other interesting wide receiver notes here. Davante Adams turns in another good game. A lot of it came in garbage time. He got very lucky to score this last touchdown, because it was an overtime. Their plan really wasn't even to score the touchdown. It was just to get into better field goal range, and then he kind of just scampers into the end zone.
One thing that's 14 targets, it's hard to like worry about too much luck when a guy gets 14 targets in a game.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it's awful. I'm sour grapes on this, so don't worry. You got to ignore some of my thing, some of my stuff. Yeah. I'm fully aware that I'm just kind of being a sort of a crybaby about some of this stuff, and it's fine. Like, I feel like after all these years, I do very little crybaby stuff, at least out public facing. You get plenty of it. But public facing crybaby stuff, I really avoid doing. And I don't know, it's just seeping over from this week. So here's a question. Aaron Rodgers could come back this week. I find two things very interesting. One is that Adams has been the clear target guy for Hundley, but Nelson is the clear target guy for Rodgers, right? And it doesn't seem like they would, it seems like that would stay in the same, because like, I don't know, it would surprise me. Now we've seen Jordy Nelson completely disappear, right?
Yes.
So two things. One, if Rodgers were to come back, would we want to revert some of our target assumptions back toward Jordy Nelson? And the other thing, kudos to FanDuel and DraftKings, they clearly had something in place where they fixed the pricing on Nelson, because Nelson had been down going into last week. Nelson was 4,500 on DraftKings going into last week. Like, he had been 47, 43, 44, and 4,500 over the last 4 weeks. Like, he had just fallen off a cliff. And now, if you look at him now, they have him set back to 6,300. So I think they had like an Aaron Rodgers little, I don't know, toggle button that they put in place for Nelson. So this is a long-winded thing to say. What do we do with the Packers situation if we did see Aaron Rodgers come back this week?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Nelson is a mandatory play whatsoever at that price point. You know, I hear what you're saying, that Rodgers tends to favor him, and I think that's true. Even if you go back earlier this season, though, like, Nelson is still lacking any sort of big games on his resume, and 6,300 is just not very cheap on DraftKings. Like, you really need significant production to put that together. And you'd really like a strong possession receiver to flesh that out. So I think for me, at some point you run out of guys you can't play in any given week. I don't think I would want to be speculating on this. I think anyone who offers a guess, it's a good practice for big tournaments, but any sort of playing him for cash games or 50-50s or whatever is strictly narrative based in my mind. Like, I don't know that that's an evidence based play, I guess.
Yeah. Most of my ears or my eyes, whatever, something pricked up, perked up. What if something did something? Because I was
stuff was perking up on Doug's body.
Things were perking up all over the place. I was mostly excited because I thought that I knew he had been cheap last week. And I was just, when I went over to look at it this morning, I was like, I wonder if he's still going to be that.
Would have been interesting. 4,500 would have been, I would have happily speculated at that point.
Sub 5,000 or whatever, but they didn't get there. All right. That's kind of all the thoughts I had this week. Anything else? I know I kind of cherry picked
Buddy, I got thoughts. Okay.
What else stood out to you this week?
Well, just more guys that we had in our lineup that we took out that were good. So, so Cooper Kupp is another guy. Kind of interesting here. 118 yards and a touchdown, but just 7 targets. So I don't feel like we really screwed that up. I mean, in any given week, when we evaluate, when we try to forecast things going into the week, and then we evaluate how we did after the week for football, we're tending to look at opportunity. What people do with opportunity is a lot more up to luck than how much opportunity they get in the first place. Like, sure, sometimes Cooper Kupp is going to break an 80-yard touchdown reception, and most of the time he's not. So what we really have control over is just taking the average targets and going from there. So I don't feel like we were wrong on not playing him, but it's just noteworthy that he continues to be involved in the offense to a very significant degree. Some guys we can ignore: Tyrell Williams, 4 tech catches for 100 yards and a touchdown. Classic, just ignore that game going forward situation. Keenan Allen, his teammate, 8 catches for or 6 catches on 8 targets for 111 yards, a little bit below the target share we were looking for, but still in that neighborhood, still elite in my mind. A couple guys I want your
opinion. Some of that was game script, and then they were winning. So that's why I didn't make any.
But that's true, but I still think he's supposed to be involved when they're winning just because of the nature of his game, but also not an ideal matchup. I mean, there was a lot going on there that could have contextually caused him to have fewer. But then there were a couple of these guys, these cheaper guys who wind up with big target share, and I think a lot of people are going to be looking at going forward. One is Marquise Goodwin. We were on him. Many people were on him. No surprise. Gets 12 targets, 6 catches for 106 yards. I think he still represents an excellent value going forward. So I don't think, he'll be sneaking up on anyone. But what about Kendall Wright? I mean, Kendall Wright, people forget, was a historical. I know, but let's wait. Hear me out. Kendall Wright was historically, and he's not in the main slate. So, this is a little bit academic here, but historically, he has turned in seasons where he was one of the target leaders in all of the NFL, right? And I know that the Chicago passing game is not really one you want to go after, but 11 targets turns it into 10 catches. That's really the thing that catches my eye there, is because with nothing working for the Chicago passing offense, to turn in a game where you get 10 catches on 11 targets for 107 yards, that seems to me like the thing that they'll just try again, right? And Wright, still cheap everywhere. Do you think Wright is a guy that anyone can consider going forward?
Oh, I don't know. I saw that line too, and I thought I had a feeling you were going to bring him up too, because I just know this is a guy we've talked about in the past. I want to say no, because it's just still Mitch Trubisky. It's still the Bears. I don't think you can give him anything more than like what his median target share would be, which is something like, I don't know, 6, if we kind of chopped it down the middle somewhere like that. And I think that is more. Now, this is his second double digit game of the season, although the previous one came under Mike Glennon, and he has had injury issues a couple weeks.
Hold on before you go on. I don't want to say this after and have you feel stupid. Importantly, our friend Justin, mutual friend Justin Sadaskis, called Mitch Trubisky one of the bigger fantasy sleepers going into this season. Does that change your estimate on
right now? No, Justin knows a lot of stuff, but that's not a great I'm not going to go overboard with this. I'm going to set him somewhere like 6.5 targets, maybe 7 if I'm being super bullish. No more than that. You really can't give him more than that, I don't think. And just he's had conversion issues too in this offense. It's just as much about the quarterback play as it is about anything else, right? Like, I think this strikes me as found a matchup we like for this game, and I'm still Kendall Wright. And if I had 2 targets next week, it wouldn't completely surprise me. So I think I'm not going to go overboard on Kendall Wright.
Yep, yep. And a couple other games that I'm going to be ignoring. Torrey Smith, you know, 11 targets, 6 catches, the changeover in quarterback, just who knows what's going to happen there. Keenan Cole has 100 yards and a touch on 3 targets. No, just to forget it. And then just some other guys who we already knew were good, but continue to be good. Adam Thielen was excellent again this week. Julio Jones got a lot of targets. Demaryius Thomas. Actually, here's two guys I want to throw out there for you, whose stock has changed a lot over the course of the season. Michael Thomas and his brother from a different mother, Demaryius Thomas, wind up with a combined 26 targets, 18 catches, 2 touchdowns, 200-plus yards. Do we care at all about these two guys going forward? I mean, Michael Thomas is a guy that we've keyed in on, and we've even dabbled in a little Demaryius in the past. Are we increasing or are we raising their stock a little bit going forward?
I mean, the Thomas one, they lost Kamara really early in that game. I recognize that
this is confusing. Which Thomas are you talking about?
Michael Thomas. Okay. They lost Kamara really early in that game, and I think that probably helped him a decent amount.
Doesn't that help him going forward, though? Because Kamara was a big target guy for them.
Yeah, Kamara's coming back this week, though. So I'm like, he's going to play. So I'm 90% sure he's going to play. So I think, we love Thomas. We played him multiple weeks in a row because we thought he was running bad on touchdowns, which really that's because he had a lot of red zone targets that he wasn't converting. And then really he just had a couple games in a row where it just ended up seeming like that wasn't going to be the plan, mostly with the rise of Kamara. Thomas wasn't just the targets just weren't there enough, which is a shame because, again, like this is a guy. We played him in cash. I don't know, something like 5 weeks, something like that this week, this year at least. Right. Just because the assumptions were he's, I think, just by all accounts, just getting unlucky in some of the games. And I still don't think I want to give him a lead charger just because the problem is that with those two great running backs, I think that almost all the time they are going to want to just lean on those two guys. Yep. That's what they've been wanting to do this season. And I think just that alone is not going to sustain Thomas's targets at his price point. So that's my problem there. And as long as Trevor Siemian is still the quarterback for Denver, I don't have a lot. It's going to be very hard for me to get interested in Demaryius Thomas. Yep. That's it. All right. We got to get out of here. We're going to do a basketball podcast as well today. So go check that out on our other feed. That's the DFSR NBA podcast. If you're into that, we'll be back later on this week talking cash game plays. And then at the end of the week, game by game breakdown, taking a look at all the games and matchups this week in DFS to get you ready for week 15. Buddy, talk to you in a second for NBA, and talk to you later in the week for more football.